It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know what that signifies? The arrival of the one and only Daniel Zangrilli. You hear him on Pirates pre and post games. And Dan, without further ado, I'm going to get right to it today. Ben Cherington said, quote, this morning to reporters, I fully expect Shelty to be the manager in 2025. There are a lot of parts to the job I believe he does really, really well. I fully expect that will happen. He's the right person to manage this team. Before we get into any opinions, my question for you is, how much input does Ben Cherington even have on whether Derek Shelton comes back? And what about Cherington himself and his job security?
Well, I mean, I remember back to 2019 where going into, I think, the final weekend of the year, Clint Hurdle gave an interview to Stephen Nesbitt at the time and maybe taking liberties with his own job security. And it required a quick intervention following the game. Before the game, he mentioned, oh, I fully intend to be back and sounded like a man, again, final weekend of the year, that was going to be managing in 2020. And then before Hurdle met with the media, there was about a 15-minute delay. And then many of the questions about that article, that revelation, were sent Hurdle's way in rapid fire. And the uncomfortable, never really saw Clint Hurdle sweat under the bright lights. He was a master manipulator, as good an orator of any Pittsburgh sports figure ever. It was a very different tone in a matter of 4 hours. And then the man that eventually fired Clint Hurdle was kept on the job for another month and a half. You have no idea what Bob Nutting is thinking, is my long-winded point.
Do they?
I don't think so, because listen, Neil Huntington was allowed to make the change at manager and then in the offseason of 19 heading into 20 begin spearheading a new managerial search, which ironically enough, Derek Shelton was at the top of his list. Derek Shelton interviewed with Neil Huntington only to have to come back and interview about a month later with the new general manager. So, okay. That's today. That's what, September 11th, 2024.
Yeah.
Long time between now and then.
All right. So the next question would be, how much input does Cherington have? Let's say Cherington is staying.
Yeah.
How much input would he have with Nutting?
Assuming that he's on solid footing, Bob Nutting typically likes to stay out of baseball operations. He really doesn't know much about baseball. He's the first to admit it, at least the high-level understanding of you know, what you need to do to get from point A to point B. He knows the basic business model of how a small market team needs to operate, draft, develop, retain, extend, all that sort of stuff. He knows that. That's what he wants to do. Those are the objectives. But he's not going to, I think, be in the conversations of Paul Skene's workload management and what that looks like, or he's not being kept abreast of biomechanic data that's coming in. Some owners do. They're very hands-on. And they,
but the future
and they get
of the manager
way.
Is a different story.
Of course,
story.
Absolutely. He has swallowed a lot of money to dismiss high-ranking baseball operations officials before. I think Huntington had upwards of 3 years remaining on his contract. I think Hurdle had two. So he's paid upwards of $20 million to have those positions not work for him.
All right. What's your gut feel, or maybe your educated guess? Will Cherington and Shelton both be back?
If I were to have to, sitting here right now, I would probably check the yes box if my mortgage was on the line. I think that there's going to be changes. I don't think you're going to rubber stamp everything and look at 2024 as a success. I guess they're really going to be interested to see how the rest of these 14, 15, 16 games or whatever, against a bunch of contenders, by the way. The remainder of the schedule after today against the Marlins, it's pretty tough. And I think that they want to see that play out. And there's an opportunity for some salvation in some respects. And they'll use every one of the 162 games to make a judgment. And, you know, the Pirates are obviously chugging along to the point where you're going to be happy with getting similar results that you did in 2023. And I don't think you can look at this year as a success. So is it enough of a success with some internal development stories? I don't know. There's a lot of internal development failures. It's going to be, I think, assessed. There will be changes made, but how significant will they be? Will guys be put on notice? Will they warm up that seat? Will they make it very hot? I would think if Cherington and Shelton are back in 2025, which again, I suspect they would be, it will be under some pretty clearly communicated objectives as to what success looks like.
Dan Zangrilli joining me in studio here. He's brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. Both Larry Kelly and Joe George are AV rated, as is the entire LGKG firm. LGKG, your home team. Also brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Make clogged gutters a thing of the past with Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET. And finally, by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Big fans of them. Also big fans of Slice on Broadway, which is out in the hallway right now. They went to a lot of trouble, is my understanding, to get us these pizzas, salads, hoagies, pepperoni rolls today. And did they taste extra good, or was that my imagination?
Joe, the especially the plain pizza today, it was different.
And crinkulent.
It was good. The crust was fantastic.
Unbelievable. They're great every week. Today was just a banner day. Incredible, that place.
Yeah, you know, Wednesdays are partly my favorite day of the week, other than Fridays, because it's Friday, because we get the Slice on Broadway pizza, and I know we have lunch on Wednesdays, and it's awesome. I love it. Very good.
Me too. Where does Travis Williams figure in on all these decisions? Is he a decision maker?
From a business standpoint, yes, but I've never met him. I've never talked to him, so I don't know him. It's been 5 years.
What's his job description? What does he do?
I think he's more so worried about the Green Day concert execution than he is maybe the ins and outs of baseball.
Because
Dayon
reported that him and Nutting together would decide Charrington's fate.
I'm sure on big decisions there's, again, some involvement, but I mean, how involved is he on the baseball side? And I'm using like the Frank Coonley as the barometer. Frank was, I think, interjecting sometimes in an unwelcoming manner, his thoughts, opinions, and tried to be involved. I don't think Williams is, but on bigger, larger 60,000-foot views of baseball operations and the franchise at large, yes, he will be involved. But on a day-in and day-out basis, he is, unlike Frank Coonley, not involved in the minutiae. But again, I don't really have a good grasp on that, unfortunately, after 5 years, because I've never had an opportunity to have a conversation with
Joe,
him.
Joe, can I throw this out to you?
Please.
Does Travis Williams and his role with the Pirates remind you any bit of...
Dan doesn't hear headphones.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll translate the message to
Brian Burke and his role with the Penguins. Do you see any similarities there in terms of their function of and Burke took
and
a lot
the fact
of heat?
That people wonder what exactly they're doing and how much power they really have.
Partly,
yes. Yeah, I do. But I want to get to I think he answered that, right?
Yeah. Well, I was just wanted to make the comparison.
I thought it was a wonderful question.
He ended up being somebody who was kind of a scapegoat in the end of it.
Yeah.
Rightful or not, he was.
Right. I don't think, I think you got to get way down the list for Travis, anybody to quite honestly care enough about what he does to blame Travis Williams for anything. But let me ask you this. What's your opinion? If you were running the Pirates, would you bring back Shelton and Charrington?
I think I would make a change of manager. I think I would keep the general manager. Just because I think 5 years is a good sample. I think, unfortunately, we've seen far too many instances where, I don't want to say the manager's in over his head, but I think somebody, and what I really go back to is the lack of experience in minor league baseball managing games. And I understand that he is a well-traveled, well-earned, as far as Tiger Stripes are concerned, baseball guy, Derek Shelton, especially as a hitting instructor and sometime as a bench coach. But when you really look at the pathways that many managers take, and I know nowadays it's much different, but you cannot put a price tag on experience, being in those situations, and you listen to, and I know this is an archaic way of thinking, but Jim Leland draws upon, and he said so many times, all of his experience as a minor league manager. 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 games. I really, and I'm biased because there's a little bit of a personal relationship in dealing with Mike Schilt of the San Diego Padres, but he came up in the incubator that is the St. Louis Cardinals baseball operations system, and there were 900 games managed in the minor leagues. And I think that there are many instances where that tangible, in the trenches, in the throes of it experience comes into play over the course of a baseball game, and I'm not sure that, Shelton necessarily has that experience, or even anybody on staff for that matter, that has that sort of tried and true, battle-tested type of experience. And I think a fresh voice would probably do the organization some good, frankly.
John Parada was on here. He said that he knows Terry Francona quite well. He didn't talk about this job specifically, Parada did, but he did say that Francona, despite getting up there a little bit in age and some health problems, would, he thinks, manage in the right situation again. Like, he could see that as a scenario. Would that be a good choice? Would Don Kelly be a good choice? What names come to mind for you?
I mean, so let's start with Francona. Is Pittsburgh the right situation for a manager that's on hole 17 or 18? There's that. And if there's going to be significant budgetary constraints to add, the lack of sometimes aggressiveness that the Pirates have in parting with top prospects at the deadline, that could be frustrating, I think, for a guy like Terry Francona, who, if he's going to come back and deal with it, he's going to be in it to win a championship. Obviously, he's going to be drawn by the pitching, the Jared Jones, the Paul Skenes, the Mitch Kellers, and what have you. And there's also a question that I have about the health, right? There's a real possibility that when you're in the throes of it, if the Pirates are competing, that your manager could go down for 2 months because of health-related issues. If those aren't issues, without question, I would send the car to bring him here. That's the best possible scenario. A healthy, willing Terry Francona wanting to manage the Pirates. Did the relationship end well in Boston with Ben Cherington and Terry Francona? Francona, if you recall, was drugged through the mud and absolutely embarrassed and publicly flogged in Boston, only to be replaced by Bobby Valentine. How did that end? What's that relationship like at the end of the day? Is it healthy? I don't know the dirty, sordid laundry that came from that, and if that's ended on good or bad terms. If you're gonna look to make a change of manager, I'm not necessarily sure that you're doing it with the top lieutenant of the current regime as it pertains to Donnie Kelly. I think you're going outside. Stubby Clapp is a guy, as crazy as his name is, the first base coach of the Cardinals, was a finalist and a very highly thought of baseball guy that has some stripes as a minor league manager.
Interesting. Dan Zangrilli, hear him on the pre and post game. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So when we look at next year's team, I mean, for all the problems and all the upset and all the rage and anger, they're going to start next year with a rotation of Skenes, Jones, Keller, and then some interesting possibilities. Chandler, Oviedo, Falter, Ortiz. How would you round out that rotation? And I'm sure you would agree, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, Thomas Harrington's probably going to be in the mix as well, and he's been a fantastic and advanced, rapidly ascending pitcher with three very good pitches and, again, an advanced acumen. That's why I stick with the general manager, because he's done the hard part in building the foundation of pitching, and I think that there's going to be some dollars. There needs to be to add in the free agent market. I still would bring in a free agent pitcher, a left-hander, somebody that could chew innings, because you need to have 10 to be able to make it through a year, and the Pirates are close to that. I think you obviously need to add some offensive pieces. You need to figure out your third base situation and what that looks like. I guess it's encouraging that Hayes will not have surgery.
Is it
on the back? Yeah,
that's what I wonder about.
Yeah,
the longer you stave it off, like,
sure,
strengthening his back, really? Yeah. That's what we're doing now. And I don't know the particulars, although he kind of laid them out to, who was it that day?
I think it was Mackie about the the disc issues.
It sounds like a blown up disc. I'm no doctor, but the doctors can't figure it out either. So why not, if surgery is an option, why not have it and get this over with? I don't know. That's just a thought.
Again, I can, and I say this almost every week with you, you can really pinpoint the Pirates' issues. And all of those six-inning starts that were blown, all of the times that you failed to score four runs, especially early in the year. We could say what we want about this collapse late in the season, but the season was really lost from my perspective. April, May, June, and July. There were so many wins left on the table. And that goes back to Sawinski not providing the offensive production that you needed. Hayes not providing the offensive production that you needed, and Henry Davis. Mm. So those three guys in particular, those are the young, controllable, signable guys that just, it's a crater. It's a crater in this lineup. A third of their lineup and that production, it gave you absolutely nothing. It was an absolute drag. So you have to figure out what those guys are or how to replace the offense that you projected at the outset of 2024 with them.
Well, let me finish with this. Yeah. We're going to get to Mark Caballi in a minute on the Steelers quarterbacks and things like that. If you could map out a plan here going into next season, two guys is who I want to finish with here. Bednar and Henry Davis. Mm. What would be their roadmap here? Would they still be in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think Bednar, obviously, he has the track record. He still has the stuff. Everything sounds as if it is mechanical. Maybe it's from a health and a maintenance perspective. Maybe it's a conditioning perspective as well. Like, I ask those just questions honestly because, you know, a lot of the injuries that he sustained, they're kind of soft tissue, almost maintenance. What is he going to do in the offseason? Maybe tweak that.
Yeah.
And then as far as Davis is concerned, it just starts with a semblance of an approach. Obviously, he looked like the at-bats coming up here at the big leagues were getting to a better spot, and then he's sidetracked now by an injury. You got to just maybe even a winter ball, something to get some at-bats, starting with an approach at the plate, middle away, because he just looked absolutely lost. And I think it started with his thought, his intent in the batter's box. So overhaul that.
What about position-wise?
Well, obviously third base is...
I know, Davis.
For Davis? Man. I mean, I think you can manage two catchers. So you're going to leave him there. I never would have gone down the catcher path. I would have committed to a position change and put him in right field. That would have been last year. Your catching days are over. Again, he committed to it. He got much better at it. And I give credit there, but because of now Joey Bart, Andy Rodriguez, all of that stuff, I would have had Henry Davis as a right fielder to try to develop that hit tool as much as I possibly could have, as opposed to trying to manage what is an intense workload to be a competent major league catcher this day and age. It will take a toll on your offensive production, and I think we can all agree we're not interested in Henry Davis and what he could be as a big league catcher. We're interested in seeing Henry Davis develop his hit tool as a number four or number five hitter at the big league level.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Joe. Great stuff, man. Yep, thank you.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run! Track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, it's one of our favorite times of the week right here, right now, because the big boy is on the line. This is... We really do need to do work up an intro for Caballi. We have so many great quotes from him. That too. I mean, we're using the pause before the guy even gets on the air. This is incredible.
That's his intro.
Dr. Caballi, you were just way bigger than this. I just saw you on the McAfee show. You better be just as good and give us everything you gave him. What was the most incendiary thing you told him?
I cannot hear you. Joe, I cannot hear you.
He can't hear
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Now I can hear you.
Okay.
2 minutes I couldn't hear you.
Well, to recap very quickly, you were just on the McAfee show. That's how big you've become. And I want the best thing that you gave him, I want you to give to me. What was the most incendiary thing you just said on that show?
I don't know. Let me think here. This was out of the blue. I was literally laying on the couch almost napping when I got the FaceTime. What did he ask me? I'm probably incendiary. I can't even say that word. See, I don't do that anymore, Joe. I'm a happy-go-lucky, positive person.
No way. They were asking you about Russell Wilson. You asked the big – play the question for him. Play his own question for him to refresh his memory. Here's Cabali's question and Tomlin's answer. Do you have that, City Limits?
Quarterback position is a little bit of a national topic. When healthy, is Russell still your QB1?
I'm not going to soothe you with hypothetical scenarios. It is my general practice to not. You guys that know me know I do not.
All right, so why we heard all that. We heard all that. Listen, I just wrote this morning. This is absolutely a quarterback dilemma, controversy, quandary, whatever you want to call it. He's not even saying Wilson's going to be his guy when he's healthy. If Fields plays great, he's going to keep playing. Do you agree or disagree?
I think he's going to keep playing until Russell's 100% healthy. I think that will happen. I mean, if he's 80%, 90%, I think they can defer still to Justin Fields. But when Russell's healthy, he's going back in there, Joe.
No,
I mean,
no, he's not.
All you want.
No,
he's going
not.
Back in.
Nope.
He's going in.
Justin Fields beats the Broncos to go to 2-0, throws for 3 touchdowns, runs for 80 yards. He had games like that in Chicago. He had back-to-back games of 4 touchdown passes each last year. He has a great game this weekend. I don't care if Russell Wilson's healthy. I think they'll come back with Fields. You don't?
Well, they'll come back with Fields because they'll say Russell's not 100%, which might be it. But the Steelers are not going to put him in a situation to throw 3 touchdowns, 300 yards. They're going to do much of the same. Just try not to lose this game.
Well, however you define great game. I think it's reasonable to think they might open up a little bit. He hardly had any prep time last week.
Except for like the 4 weeks he had at training camp and preseason, and he did have all Thursday, all Friday, and now Saturday too. So I think he had plenty of time. Justin did what he needed to do. You got to give him credit for that.
Oh, I don't think he was great the other day. That's not my point. All right, so you're on the record then.
Yeah.
No matter what Justin Fields does this weekend, if Russell Wilson is cleared to play, he's playing the next week.
Yes.
Okay.
I think,
all right.
Well, cleared to play, I think now that could be where it becomes tricky here. They could say, okay, he had this good game. Let's make sure he's 100% healthy and give him that extra week type of situation rather than, hey, you know what, this might be a 3-week injury. We're on week 3. Let's give him that 4th week. But when he's 100%, they deem him 100%, he's back in there.
Well, you and I think very differently on that. If Justin Fields is then 3-0 with 2 really good games under his belt, he could, of course.
That's insane.
And that would change everything if Fields stinks, right? Of course, or if he's just average. But what if he's really good? The notion of them putting Russell Wilson back in, a guy they have no commitment to, no history with, no emotional attachment, no financial attachment, I disagree with you. But we can disagree. Well, we're big boys.
They have no emotional financial attachment to Justin Fields.
I think Tomlin, well, he's building one because he's actually now would have played games for him. And if we're talking about a Fields who's 2-0 or 3-0, plus this is a guy that he absolutely loved coming out of the draft. And frankly, it's the guy he's worked with most. You just said it since the beginning of August, end of July.
Yeah, but Joe, I'm telling you right now, you saw how this offense worked on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
It was built for Russell Wilson. It was built to run the ball. It was built to convert third downs. It was built to play action, throw the ball deep, and nobody throws the ball deeper or better deep balls than Russell Wilson. It's not put your defense in bad situations. Better, basically put, Russell Wilson is a better version of what you saw of what Justin Fields did the other day.
Okay. But if you're in love with the run game, then I would imagine it at least entices you to have maybe the best running quarterback in football running the show.
I just don't think what was his longest run the other day? 7 yards?
You know what I mean, though.
He got stopped on the 4th and 1?
He did because there was mass confusion. Don't confuse what I'm saying as Russell as Fields played great the other day. Don't confuse that.
Oh, I think he played well enough to win, and you got to give him a ton of credit for that. But I think Russell Wilson provides them something a little bit more stability, a little bit more of, okay, we can open this up a little bit. It looked like in that first two to three quarters, they just wanted to make sure Justin Fields wasn't going to lose the game for him. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, what about the end of the half with 32 seconds left? They let him throw
a ball. That's a smart call. I mean, you have a no-lose situation there. I thought it was a nice scheme play where you roll to the left and throw back to the right. You have nothing to lose there. He made the throw, but I thought the call was great too.
This is absolutely incredulent that you and I disagree on this. It almost sounds like you and Shelty
talking here. Whatever you say, he disagrees, right?
My buddy City Limits thinks Justin Fields should be named the starter right now today. He's gone even further than me. Go ahead, City Limits. You know, make your case to the big boy.
Living in the moment.
Oh, Kabali, I've been saying this for weeks. And, you know,
You also said the Pirates are going to make the playoffs. So where how can I trust you?
Oh, he just hit you with a hard one. That hurt.
Especially coming from the guy who likes to send videos of bridges collapsing and everything else when the Pirates lose games. Cavalli loves sending that.
This was in May. I told you they were done.
Speaking of bridges, doesn't Crowley have to walk over a bridge because he lost the bet to Pony? Doesn't he have to do that?
He's backing out. He said he's going to, like, donate $200 or something to a charity. I don't know how that's on equal to walking across in the thong.
Mark, I base my Justin Fields thoughts on a couple of different factors. One being that I wonder how much that Russell Wilson really does have left in the tank. It does make me wonder because of the thoughts that everything that the Seattle former players have said and how disastrous it was with Sean Payton and all the comments from people out in Denver and they don't really like him, whatever. Okay, that's a separate issue. But I wonder if Russell Wilson is that type of guy in this type of offense to be able to be what Arthur Smith wants him to be. And what I mean by that is, how much mobile is he? With the calf injury, not very. Justin Fields brings a running dynamic, and he's got a strong arm. He's not as accurate, I'll admit that. But don't you want to see Justin Fields, a 25-year-old young quarterback, when you're trying to build for the future, where if Russell Wilson lights the world on fire, you got to pay him $40 million, and if he sucks, he's gone? Either way, I don't see the Steelers bringing him back because of the amount of money it's going to cost. Or
this is quite a soliloquy from the young fellow, isn't it?
Because he lost me about 5 minutes ago.
What a surprise. All right, Mark, then respond.
I'm trying to think which question you want, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 there, if there was a question. How about just boil this down to very, as Mike Tomlin once said, I have no idea what you just said. What was your question here? I can't remember.
What was your question, Limits? That was like an 8-minute soliloquy.
Well, at first it was a definition of my point, and the question ultimately was, why not just rip the Band-Aid off now? Let Justin Fields be the guy because of his youth, his abilities, and you potentially could keep him for a long time. That's why Tomlin traded for him.
Well, first of all, you want to win right now. Who cares about next year? How about next March? Somebody, he is a free agent, you know. Come March.
I'm aware.
So how about if somebody else gives him $20 million and he says, I'm going over here. It's a better team, better opportunity. See ya. I mean, you have to worry about today. If you don't know anything about Tomlin, what he said yesterday, he's not worried about tomorrow. He's worried about winning today. And I still believe Russell Wilson gives him the best chance to win today. And by the way, you're talking about all the criticism from Denver and Seattle. How many days has it been since Mark Schlereth hasn't ripped on Russell Wilson? Are we at 2 yet? You like that one, didn't you?
What's fair? What's the significance of saying that? I don't get it.
Well, Mark Schlereth tends to rip on Russell Wilson every other day in the media. It's just constant.
I've heard that. There's no reason. Listen, I'm a Russell Wilson guy too. I hope he does get his chance, and I think he is better than Justin Fields. But as I observe,
big for you, Joe.
What?
Jalen Warren didn't play. Russell Wilson.
Yes, man, it was very hard on me. I know. What I'm saying is I'm a Russell Wilson backer, but I'm watching this with my own two eyes. You asked the question yesterday. Why didn't Tomlin just say yes? He's still the guy if he's healthy.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care what he says to us or to anybody else.
I disagree a million percent with that. He's unbelievably calculated in what he says to the media every week. He knew going in he was going to get those questions, and he didn't say yes.
Well, I would give him an opportunity to be able to set the record straight. Because you know how that happens sometimes, Joe. Coaches don't like to say anything unless it's brought up. They don't want to bring it up just on their own.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd put it on a platter for him to either squash it or say anything, and he just decided to say none of your business, basically, right? He's been doing that for 18 years. I probably should have known he wasn't going to say. You know, sometimes he would say, Russell's still QB1, and it would have been it. He lives in this little bubble. He doesn't care what Stephen A. Smith or Joe Starkey says. He just doesn't care.
All right, well, let's move on. We have the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show, also covers Cubbles. He covers WWE, don't you? Is that true?
Yeah, I have a meeting with him here in a couple hours, so figure out some other stuff I got to do. So
this is a very exciting time in your life.
Master of none.
50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right, give me a couple guys who you thought played, other than the obvious. T.J. Watt played great. I thought Najee had a good game and Pickens had a good game. Give me a couple other guys who had a really good game and then a couple guys who struggled and need to pick it up.
Well, I think Zach Frazier goes without saying, as a rookie, first start, more than held his own. He was quite impressive.
Did you see Baldinger breaking down the tape on Zach Frazier where he was just...
I did not, but he normally does a very good job.
Oh, so he was sending that. People to the ground. 8 times he put somebody on the ground, but go ahead.
Really? Yeah, first start. Plus, you didn't have your guard next to him who Samalu would help him out a ton if he was in there, so you can't complain about that at all. I think Pickens, man, I wasn't expecting that type of performance from him, so you got to give him a bunch of credit here. Arthur Smith, I thought, did very well being able to incorporate his plan using 3 and 4 tight ends extremely well. I think Michael Pruitt might be a guy that didn't get a lot of notoriety, but he's a pretty doggone good blocker in that run game as well. I thought he played well, not so well. Cam Hayward, I would say, but Cam, I think, just needs to get ramped up a little bit because he missed so much. He barely took any reps in preseason or even training camp. I think that's just he has to build himself up, so I wouldn't read too much into that. I thought Patrick Queen did what he could do. It's not a guy that made a ton of plays, but he was in the right position, I thought, a lot. And the guy that I thought was surprising, again, on the flip side there, Joe, is Peyton Wilson. I wasn't anticipating him getting the number of snaps that he did over Landon Roberts. So those are some of the positives. It's a little disappointing with Cam Johnson. I think that's a huge loss.
Yeah, man, that really was. Now, I know you hate Pro Football Focus, but they gave Patrick Queen a horrible grade, said he missed a bunch of tackles, and they gave Cam a really good grade.
Really? I didn't really notice a bunch of missed tackles, but I did see a bunch of average play from Roquan Smith in Baltimore. I thought that was supposed to be, I thought that he was supposed to be, didn't need a guy like Patrick Queen, so I thought that was interesting. The least of my worries is Patrick Queen. To be honest with you, the least of my worries. They didn't play Beanie Bishop a ton until late, so I wouldn't say one way or another on him. Hey, I thought the coaching staff did well, and I think Arthur Smith did well. And you know what? He's not mentioned much, but Terrell Austin put together a nice little plan there to be able to.
Yes, I agree with that. Him and Tomlin. Him and Tomlin both had a very good plan.
Yeah.
All right, big boy. How about some free association? You ready for that?
All right.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing. Up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. I have 85 today. And sunny. Jaylen Warren Number of touches this week didn't appear to be fully himself. How about 9.5 over-under touches?
You know what, Joe? I'm not going to do free association on this, but he did have 30 snaps, so he couldn't have been that hurt.
Yeah.
I'm going to say under. I'm a little curious and see how Arthur Smith's going to use two running backs. He's normally a one running back type of guy. Maybe he's just not going to use Jalen as much. I don't know, but I'll go under.
Pat Freiermuth will have a more impactful game than he had. Yes or no?
I'll say no, based on the quarterback.
Steelers will win this game.
Yeah, I just think Denver stinks.
Yeah, I agree with that. Somebody other than George Pickens will make an actual play at wide receiver.
Once again, based on the quarterback situation here, I think Van Jefferson might have the best opportunity, so I'll put him in that possibility of making a significant catch.
Which was the worst Artie Smith call last week? George Pickens on an end-around or a screen pass to Van Jefferson that had Calvin Austin and George Pickens as your lead blockers?
I'll say the end-around. Didn't that lose like 12 yards or something like that?
Yeah.
But you can't have Calvin Austin blocking anybody in that situation. So I doubt that will happen again of him out there during that situation.
We going to see Roman Wilson in this game?
I think you might. Very limited, but I think you might see him for a handful of snaps.
Thank you, Dr. Cabali.
All right, Joe.
See you, buddy.
See you, Austin.
Goodbye, Mark. Isn't he a wonderful man? Huh? He's an incredible man. He might even be an incriculent one.
What do we have for one? I've been torn on this.
Well, it was supposed to be Zangrilli, but we moved him up.
He threw everything off. I think your wheel of ball here is in order. We've spent, 2 hours on the quarterbacks. I'm about quarterbacked out. I'm ready to take a little trip around the NFL. There are some interesting little tidbits out there, not the least of which is what's happening in Cleveland. Maybe a little Joe Burrow stuff. Let's do a wheel of ball, shall we?
Let's do it.
Thank you.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.